Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning, you've got Religion on the Line. Here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. This is the time and this is the place. 103.7 and 710 AM, FM and AM, we've got you covered. And we'd like you to cover the waterfront of religious and spiritual concerns this morning here in the heart of the country as we share a conversation. Give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710 is the number to call. And we will be glad to pick up and have a little dialogue, trialogue, quadralogue with you. This is Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Dr.
John Kirk,
President of St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with...
I'm just so impressed you're there. Today is, was yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
Both days.
Ah,
both days.
Okay.
Both days, though.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm impressed.
And just to let all of the listeners in, yesterday, John was ordained a deacon in the Catholic Church, and you had your formal ceremony yesterday, but today you do your first Mass. Is that right?
Well, I do my first assist.
Assist.
Deacons are servants, and so I will be the I will assist at Mass. This assist the priest. So specifically the deacon will proclaim the gospel, serve at the altar by preparing the gifts, exhort the people to take what they believe out into the world and live it.
So does that mean you're going to be giving what we euphemistically call the sermon, or no?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how long are you going to speak, John?
Well, let's see here.
old-fashioned advice from two old-fashioned clergy. One of the clever lines. By the way, I'm Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Bnei Yehuda. If you haven't struck oil in 15 minutes, quit boring.
Well, no. I hope I don't go 15 minutes because... It's been my experience sitting in the pew for so many years.
Yes.
That so often people just don't remember what you say, but they remember your enthusiasm. And so I hope that whatever I say will be enthusiastic enough to give inspiration to whoever hears it to fall in love with God. That's the goal, is to get people to fall in love with God.
Are you going to say that directly or only tangentially?
Yeah, I am. Why not just get to the point? You know? we spend a lot of words beating around the goal. We should just go right to the goal.
The other piece of grand advice, and I think I've actually shared this from time to time on the show, is that you really only have one or two sermons. The secret's to find out what it is.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, really.
Thank you.
And as the book of Joshua says, much and good success. Good
Thank you.
Is the important part.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate that. You know, being on this show and letting you take us back centuries is so, to me, it's so inspiring because it just shows that God transcends all time and space and that he's been there forever. And but it's just so beautiful how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, your tradition teaches us that, and it's because these very same thoughts that come out of your mouth are in my heart as well. And it's just so beautiful how our two traditions just it's like that equation in math where you got an arrow going in both ways. And you've got the graces and the blessings flowing in and out of both of these traditions and both of these covenants. And so I've really come to appreciate, your wisdom of the Jewish books.
Well, I'm grateful for the suggestion. And I want to go back to what you're going to talk about, though. Have you written out what you're going to say, or is it in your heart and it's going to come out?
Well, no, I have written out what I'm going to say, but I probably won't say it.
Well, that's very important. It's very important that you have done that, and that's a wise choice.
Yeah.
But
I bet that Bob and I would both love to have copies of your of your first sermon, and then maybe we could steal it.
would love to have a copy, John.
But again, one other piece of advice. First of all, do send it, please. I remember years and years and years ago, a colleague, a much older colleague now deceased, who said to me, "Michael, you have to make me a promise, and that promise is for the first 10 years of your rabbinate, you must write out what you're going to say." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I'm modest now. He said, you're very good, and you're going to get lazy if you don't go through the hard work of writing out what you're going to say."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, and I've discovered that from taking classes. We've had to write homilies and sermons, and I do. I write them out. But then you get up there and you say to yourself, if I read this, I'm just going to
bore deadly
people
bored.
To death.
Yeah,
absolutely. And
they're
not going to catch the enthusiasm. And I remember I gave this presentation to my colleagues at the university on a dental topic. And one of the colleagues came up to me afterwards and said, "I really enjoyed your presentation." And I said, "Oh, what part of the presentation did you enjoy the most?" He says, "Your enthusiasm." And it was a very technical, biomaterial, scientific presentation, because that was why I asked the question, what part did you enjoy the most?
Uh-huh.
Because it entailed so much chemistry and engineering. And I just thought, well, golly, I'm surprised you found that interesting. But he got the point, and the point was the enthusiasm for whatever you're speaking about is contagious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
So that's I hope that'll be my homily, and that is the enthusiasm for the things of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, as long as you're on the point at the moment, some other topics that you might want to throw into the hopper as opposed to folks simply telling us what you should say today?
Well, golly, gee whiz. Last week we were kind of into the nine choirs of angels, and I had a conversation with I got a call from Texas from one of my priest friends who congratulated me. He
listens to the show. Oh no! Oh, I'm the deaconate.
Well, he was actually the priest that was also in the car accident with my brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Killed him, and he came out of that car accident. He was the passenger. He came out of that car accident with so many broken bones. But as it turns out, he was ordained the same day I was ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some masses said for our parents after both of them passed, on my wife's side and my side. We had 30 days of masses offered for the parents. And so he was assigned the masses to be said for the parents. So that would be, two fathers, two mothers. And every time he starts a new 30-day set of masses for the parents, he calls to tell us which parent he's praying for. And so anyway, he called to give me his congratulations. And it's things like that. I got a text from some consecrated sisters in Texas as well. Give me their congratulations because they couldn't be there. And I've got some congratulations from other priests in the country and that I have known. And of course, you invite everybody, but nobody can come because the clergy are all tied up.
Mm-hmm.
They have a job,
They've
right?
got a commitment that
they,
time.
They can't get away. So, but I know in spirit they're there. And, just a little text or a little anything comes along, but he was doing a little prayer to honor the angels,
mm-hmm.
and when we come back, I'll tell you what those nine choirs of angels are.
All right, you heard it here first.
Come back anyway, folks.
Yeah, we're going to be right back here at 576-7710. Give us a call.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Michael Savage.
They've confused sexual liberation with far more important liberations, and that's a great, great scam in order to imprison an entire generation, which is to turn them all into sexually promiscuous beings and then tell them to do whatever they want and let them think they're free, and then to hobble them with socialism.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM. Kansas City, now you're talking. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
I'm starting to dread the weekends because of my husband's drinking. He doesn't stop drinking until he's out of control and passes out. A counselor told me to try Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think weekend drinking was that serious, but I'm glad I went. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or visit alanonfamilygroups.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference. For some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
For the thousands of wounded warriors returning from battle, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a unique program that helps wounded warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. The Warriors to Work program also works with companies to find the right job for the right warrior. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
What's the best way to bring people together?
T-shirts!
T-shirts. Custom T-shirts that you design online with Custom Ink. Custom Ink has created over 50 million shirts for families, teams, reunions, church groups, cheerleaders, companies big and small. On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your Custom Ink T-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. Visit CustomInk.com.
KCMO Talk Radio is Mark Levin.
I can't stand this guy.
Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line on this beautiful day here in the heart of the country at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. The number to call is 576-7710. Do give us a call here. This is a special moment for conversation. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Dr. John Perk, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. John, where are you speaking today?
At St. Agnes at noon.
Uh-huh. And is this common? Your own home parish would be the place where you would give the homily, right?
Yes, this is my canonical home parish. It's in Kansas City, Kansas. The Archbishop has been so kind to give me faculties to serve in my parish. But my primary service is in the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, where I've been assigned to be the principal of St. Michael the Archangel. I'm sorry, the president of St. Michael the Archangel High School. And to lead that and to lead and build that community for the greater honor and glory of God in eastern Jackson County.
And as president, I've demoted myself to principal.
Yeah. And the people might wonder, well, why are you in the Diocese of Missouri anyway? Well, my community, Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, has been in the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, and served there for 50 years. We celebrated our 50th year. Actually, I think it's June 6th or June 7th.
How old is the community itself?
The community itself is from 58, so we're 56 years old. Mm-hmm. I think we're on every continent in the world, mm-hmm. With missions and houses. And so I know one of the priests is going to be there who is originally from Ireland, and he's going to be there at the Mass, and another priest who was stationed in England is going to be there. And besides just being incarnated in a diocese, I'm also a member of this worldwide community. And I have a very good friend of mine who came in to vest me. I had two people vest me.
And you might explain what that is. Vesting doesn't mean that they're your valet, although they kind of are, but that means that they put these sacred garments that then indicate that you have been ordained. Is that right?
Yes. They place a stole over you, and in our case, the dalmatic. That's what the deacon wears. Priest wears the chasuble, but deacons wear the dalmatic. And a friend of mine came up afterwards and said, What's the difference? And I said, well, we have sleeves. But
you can wipe your nose? Is that...
No. But being at the ordination, I was really worried that I was going to sob and sob and sob. And so I had two handkerchiefs under a watch. Mm-hmm. And there was just one very special moment where everything just kind of flowed out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
Tears and tears. And
during the service or afterwards?
During.
Uh-huh.
And my brother-in-law, who my wife and I were so close to, and he was... my greatest joy would have been if he could have physically been present there to have given me his big bear hug and congratulations. Mm-hmm. But instead, he was watching from somewhere in heaven, mm-hmm. with my parents and my wife's parents. And so that was a great joy there. And so I asked his spiritual director, who was also my spiritual director, and his best friend to vest me, who were both priests. Mm-hmm. And so I had two priests vesting me. One was the founder of our community, Father James Flanagan, who came up from, he's 90 years old.
Mm.
And don't you have an elderly rabbi?
My rabbi emeritus is 98.
Yes. 98.
And in fact, he officiated at one occasion on the installation of one of his students who became a rabbi, and a couple of years ago at the retirement of his student.
Whoa! Now, I thought you were going to say that he officiated at the ordination of that person's son who became a rabbi.
No, I don't think so, although that person's son did become a rabbi.
Now, Michael, is he in residence with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, he taught his class on Saturday morning that he's been teaching for somewhere on the order of 60 years on the Torah portion. I rejoice every chance I get to be with him. Truly, he's just an awesome, remarkable man. And John, given what you mentioned about family observing from a different perspective, you're probably aware that one of the reasons that I am so deeply engaged with him is he's sort of a father substitute. So my dad died when I was quite young, and so I never got a chance to be the adult with my father that I would have wished to be. And so here's the universe, God, providing another opportunity to imagine that. And in Jewish tradition, we can say, there's a phrase, don't say about your teacher, my teacher, say rather my father.
That's nice. Or, to be inclusive for these days, my mother.
Yeah, so, well, my parent.
My parent.
That's the way I would normally translate it. But,
this was so wonderful.
Were you vested in this? Is it part of the service that you get vested, or before the service you get vested?
Well, after somewhere during the ordination rite, when you become a deacon, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, are we deacons now? Because we made four processions to the bishop, one to promise obedience, two to receive the gospels, three the sign of peace, and four the laying on of the hands.
What does receiving the gospels mean per se?
Well, the deacon is called to proclaim the gospel. So a deacon, if there's a deacon present at every liturgy, the deacon is assigned to read the gospel. And so we're given the Gospels because we're going to proclaim the Gospel at every liturgy. And more importantly, we're called to live the Gospel, to be a living book in the world.
So not just doing the function of receiving the Gospels into your hands, walking through the middle of the nave, and then reading the Scripture and saying, this is the Word of the Lord, but actually receiving the Word per se, the mystical presence of God into your heart.
The Book of Gospels. Yeah, the Book of Gospels. And for us, that is the Word of God, who is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, who comes as the Word, the eternal Word. And so, you know, we're kneeling, we receive the Gospels, and the little prayer that's said is so beautiful. I don't have it memorized, but it's just so beautiful. My brother who came in from Kentucky repeated it. He said that was so beautiful, but it goes something to the effect of teach what you believe, or believe what you read, teach what you believe, live what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I slaughtered that somehow, but it sounds good.
it sounds like a good approximation of what ought to have been said.
I think it's pretty close to what was said, and so. That's part of our charge. The other part of our charge is to assist at the altar. And the third part of the charge is to be ministers of charity, to listen and be out amongst the people. As the bishop said, that we have the privilege of living two sacraments, the sacrament of marriage and the sacrament of holy orders. And
we're gonna take a break, and we do have other topics, people.
But we're not going to talk about them.
But yes, we are going to talk about them after we get back from this break. Give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710. We'll be right back after these messages.
Coming up Monday on the show, finally somebody said, enough of the Kansas City prayer vigils and anti-crime rallies. We need to actually do something about it. It looks like they're going to talk about a big problem, black-on-black crime. Mayor Sly James involved. We'll get you all the details. And the Border Patrol says they're predicting new waves of drugs, weapons, and illegal aliens. It's on the KCMO Morning Show.
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
And now 103.7 FM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Comedian Tracy Morgan remains in critical condition after a six-vehicle pileup yesterday in the New Jersey Turnpike.
Morgan and his friends were on their way back to New York after a Friday night performance in Delaware. Investigators have charged the truck driver, Kevin Roper, of Georgia. He's facing one count of death by auto and four counts of assault by auto.
Lydia Serrani of Fox affiliate WNYW. Comic James McNair, a friend of Morgan's, was killed in the crash. At the Belmont Stakes.
Pugilist! Pugilist
Commissioner. It won't be a triple crown this year. It's going to be close. It's going to be very close. And Totalist got there. Totalist has won the Belmont Stakes.
Totalist edging Commissioner and NBC Sports. Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner California Chrome was fourth, the 13th horse to fall one race short of winning the Triple Crown. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Mostly cloudy skies can be expected as we head throughout the overnight hours, with temperatures falling to about 61 degrees for our Sunday morning. Northerly winds will be light between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Sunday's shaping up to be a gorgeous day, a dry day with partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will be very similar to what we saw today. 78 degrees will be our high. Winds light out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
One little joint supplement. You know this powerful little pill is great for your joints. It even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't give you the joint relief you're looking for. Until now. Introducing the complimentary two-week sample of Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It's the number one selling joint supplement at GNC. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering adults a complimentary two-week sample as part of a nationwide giveaway. Call and claim your sample today. 1-800-941-9483. Instaflex provides powerful, effective joint relief for your knees, hands, even your hips. Prove it to yourself by calling now for your complimentary sample. Instaflex is available at GNC, Walgreens, and CVS. But you can only get your complimentary two-week sample by calling 1-800-941-9483. Call now for your two-week Instaflex sample. 1-800-941-9483.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7. Now you can hear the biggest names in talk radio on FM. This is KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Give us a call, 576-7710, here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Dr. John Perk, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And Michael, what other topics do we have to share today?
Oh, we've got a bunch of intriguing things and then a couple of more challenging items, shall we say. For folks of a liberal bent, and I would probably put myself in that category, it's all too often the case that we, even if we don't do it publicly, we sometimes wonder about Oklahoma. But here's a moment where Oklahoma seems to me to be ahead of a curve. Starting in November, Oklahoma couples with children younger than 18 will have to go through an education program before being allowed to divorce in the state under a new bill signed into law this week. I don't know if any other state has that, and if it, and it sounds to me as though it's an awfully valuable and important idea in our time when, while marriages are ending less often than they did in the roaring 80s, still it's a challenge for children, and I think people need to be able to understand some of the dynamics that are going on and not going on in a couple, in a family, especially in the children.
Who will be providing the classes?
Oh, let's see. It doesn't say. At least not in the article I have. But it's an interesting idea nonetheless. Maybe somebody out there knows more about it.
All right.
Closer to you guys, after all that it is. Pope fires and replaces Board of Financial Group. John, I'm sure that doesn't impact your deaconate, but it does have one of those moments where this Pope, again, decisive action. And I'm sure that most of our folks who listen to the show and are not Catholic don't have any understanding of what the financial business is and what the issues might be. Maybe you can enlighten us on that in a moment. Well, all right, pretend you're going to enlighten us on it. And then this horrific thing, community outside of Wisconsin, two 12-year-old girls, and this, did you read about this one? Two 12-year-olds stabbed, I think it was 17 times, 19 times, a 12-year-old friend. She is going to survive, which is close to extraordinary. But they, quote-unquote, were doing it in honor to honor some internet character called Slenderman. Who's some? And I don't know more about this than I'm going to be able to say right now. But other than the horrific nature of this ugliness and incredible, you know, Kelly, 12-year-olds are not. By the way, they're being charged as adults, and 12-year-olds are not adults. But that said, just a horrific item. Even as Bob, you're our movie maven. Remember Grand Canyon, where the woman runs down the alley and the baby is abandoned, and she, and her comment is, "It's not that people are abandoning babies down alleys; it's that we're getting used to it."
And the
shooting in Seattle this week didn't even make the front pages of the papers here. It was buried.
We might want to. A lot of people may not even have heard it. Most of my friends and colleagues haven't. At Seattle Pacific University, is that right?
Right, I think that's correct. Yeah,
and a non-student came onto the campus and killed one person and injured two or three more, but was tackled by a person who heard the ruckus and everything. And as the gunman was reloading, he was tackled by an onlooker and then held to the ground until somebody could get there. And I'm thankful for the bravery of the person who tackled him.
That's for sure.
And that is very courageous. And the fact that they will now get to talk to this person, even in his insanity, whatever it is, because however rational he is, what he did was insane. So it'll be very interesting. At least they have that to engage in dialogue, to figure out what went askew in this person.
And here's an item that both I did not know and aspect of it is highly problematic that is new to what I did not know. Euthanasia has been legal in Switzerland since 1942. Did either of you know that?
Where?
No, I didn't know that.
Where?
In Switzerland.
Wow. Boy, that's a long time.
You're not kidding. Assisted suicide for the healthy is the headline. Swiss Right to Die group Exit has been offering its suicide assistance to elderly people who do not have a terminal illness. At its annual meeting this week, Exit added suicide due to old age to its list of services. And you know what I say to this? Oy vey is mir. I was stunned. I mean, absolutely stunned by that one, and maybe some other folks will have some reflection. Bob, in addition to being our movie maven, you are our resident poet. Patricia Lockwood, have you ever heard of her?
A long time ago, but not lately.
Okay. But, well, this past Sunday's New York Times magazine, a major feature, the smutty metaphor queen of Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, no. That's where I read it. Yeah, yeah. She's kind of a slamming poet.
Yeah.
And funny as all get out. Untrained. I did read that, I kept it because I'd like to meet her. But I did not know her book. She's got two or three books out.
Yeah, she's very popular and certainly was not on my radar.
Yeah.
And I think, given what I read, that I'm going to put her on my radar.
Yeah. tell the name again, Michael.
Patricia Lockwood.
Yeah, Patricia. Yeah.
And more interesting, John, her father was a Lutheran minister, and as the article says, woke up one morning and realized he was Catholic. And
he sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and he serves a parish in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
Now tell me what the the story is about the daughter?
Well, the daughter is a self-educated, never went to college, poet of some renown on the current poetry scene, and she's written a couple of books, both of which have been major sellers as poetry books go, and she lives in Lawrence, Kansas, and this was a profile of her.
I'll bring the article next week, John, for you.
Yeah, but you're quite right. Her family sounds absolutely stunningly fascinating, including the fact that he's a married Catholic priest, because he began his life as a professional religious life as a Lutheran minister.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure, almost positive, it's Greg Lockwood, Father Greg Lockwood.
That's the name, yes.
And I've actually interviewed him twice for my radio show on the Mass. And I was stunned. I was at the National Conference of Bishops. I was talking to one of the deacons there, and he said he's from Michigan, and he said he was taking a class. And I said, oh, and then just in passing, he said, my professor, Professor Lockwood. And I said, is this Father Professor Greg Lockwood?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes. And so, well, he's in Kansas City. Yes, he's teaching the course. so he has a national reputation in seminaries as well.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's get to a caller with a couple of questions, all right?
All right.
Good morning, Roger. You've got religion on the line.
Hi. Congratulations, Father Deacon.
No, it's Deacon Doctor.
Deacon Doctor, I'm sorry.
It's Deacon, and he happens also to be a doctor. Is that right, John?
And, no. John, you're but not allowed to be called Father?
Only at home, because I have seven children.
Yeah.
But thank you, Roger.
Okay. I had a question about the Last Supper. When Jesus said that he would not partake of this cup until the kingdom of God comes, could that have been a vow of a Nazarite? And if so, what would the implications be in both Jewish and Christian understanding?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll jump in first. Unlikely, since the whole institution of Nazareth, although the metaphor is interesting, because the institution of a Nazarite, for those who don't know, it's a person who doesn't have anything to do with anything that's an intoxicant or a product that's related to an intoxicant, so it wouldn't even a raisin, for example, and does not cut his or her hair. And it was a vow that any person could make, man or woman, which is interesting historically as well. But it likely already fell out of use by the time of Jesus' time on earth. And it's probably not what was intended, as much as I would understand that to be. This is coming soon.
And, okay. But Michael, why the hesitation? Why the restraint to wait until the kingdom comes?
To me, unless I'm missing what you're saying, Bob, is that the idea is that this you don't have to wait long, which is one of those great challenges and mysteries.
Okay.
It won't be long.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I just doubt the Nazarite piece of it.
And I'm going to have to bow to Michael on this. Mm-hmm. There was, it depends upon which gospel, and I cannot remember. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say, but I do not remember how many gospels have that iteration of Jesus' declaration. Not all of them do. And it would be, what was the task? What was the orientation? What was the focus of that gospel? If you were in Mark, for example, there is this repeated use of the word immediately that happens. It's a very quick, fast-paced, and there's a great sense of urgency in the Gospel of Mark. There's an unusual ending for Mark's resurrection story, and one is kind of left in the original ending of Mark's Gospel kind of hanging.
But Roger, we got to take a break, and so hold on.
Yeah, you hold on, and we'll come back to this. There's more speculation. than definition, I think. But we'll have some more responses for you, Roger. Hold on. We're going to be right back after these messages. And call us at 576-7710.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Mark Levin. Mark Levin.
So the bigger problem or the bigger issue is the welfare state. It's the welfare state, whether we're talking about longtime American citizens, Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Whites, everything in between. It's the welfare state that's killing the Republican Party, just as it's killing the nation.
The Great One, weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
There's been a rumor going around my school lately about a new draft, so I decided to check out the facts. Turns out, there is no draft. And if there ever was going to be one, we'd have plenty of notice. But you know what else I found out? Young men like me still need to register with Selective Service when we turn 18. Why register when there's no draft? Well, first off, it's the law. Guys have had to register for almost 60 years. Second, if you're a guy living in the U.S. and you don't register, you get shut out of important opportunities like college loans, job training, good jobs, and even a driver's license in most states. But I guess for me, I register because it's the right thing to do. Things are crazy in this world right now. And if the country ever does decide it needs me, I'm going to do my part.
Guys, register with Selective Service when you turn 18. Go to sss.gov or your local post office.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day, and she has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen, you can't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Her breath is better. She's just perkier. It's just so totally amazing. She's a gorgeous Springer Spaniel. She's 12 and a half years old. The last 2-3 years, she was really becoming very old, very slow, was very sad.
I thought, oh, this is it.
I was driving along one day, and I heard this person raving about Dinovite. Dinovite.com. Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
She's got life. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
She loves it. She chomps at every last single crumb.
These ingredients are natural. The flax and the yeast cultures and the grains.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
We're on our third order now. We just want everybody to know about Dinovite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite .com.
The KCMO Morning Show.
He was not president, and he has not been presidential.
Greg Knapp, mornings 5 to 9 on KCMO. Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO, 710 AM, 103.7 FM on your radio dial. And the phone number to call to engage in dialogue on this beautiful Sunday morning is 576-7710. If you're calling long distance, then maybe you have to add an 816 in front of that, but do give us a call. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Dr. John Perk, President of St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And you can also join us by emailing us at 5767710@gmail.com. And we're still speaking with Roger.
And we are continuing to kind of explicate your question about Jesus at in one portion of the New Testament says, I will not eat of this meal, meaning the Lord's Supper that he had instituted, transforming the Seder that he had shared with his followers. I will not do this again until I do so in the kingdom of God. So I don't know about the Nazirite piece. I'm just going to defer to Michael, and Michael says there's not a connection.
It's unlikely, at least.
Roger, have you ever heard of Scott Hahn?
Is Roger there?
Yes,
Roger?
But remind me.
He's a Catholic apologist, and he teaches at Steubenville. He's a professor of theology. He did a famous audio on called The Fourth Cup. If you'll email me at 5767710@gmail.com, I'll send you the transcript of that. And in that, he talks about how in Luke, Jesus took the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And so when is he going to drink it? There's usually, at every Seder meal, four cups. He only drank three of the cups. He refused the fourth cup. Then they went out to Golgotha.
And so, Gethsemane.
And then, so he's waiting to drink it in the kingdom of God, and we will see that kingdom will begin in a few minutes, because in John, he's hanging on the cross. He's already refused one hyssop branch soaked in wine or in vinegar, but then he says, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, he says, I thirst. And there was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on hyssop, put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he handed over the Spirit. And so the fourth cup of the Seder meal was taken while he was hanging on the cross.
That's one interpretation, Roger.
That's a wonderful homiletical one, by the way.
And that'll preach. Mm-hmm. One of the other ways to understand the statement attributed to Jesus is to say that the kingdom comes every time the gathered community breaks bread, and that at least in spiritual presence, Christ is there. And the Catholic Church believes that even today. There could be a delineation between physical bodily presence and a spiritual presence. But if you say that Christ does not break bread with his followers, then the Catholic understanding of communion, as well as the Protestant, goes out the window. Because we always believe that Christ is present in the gathered community when we have communion.
Would it not also be a possible interpretation that cup is shared in the kingdom, not in this world?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it could be, but there could be the kingdom that is and the kingdom that is not yet.
Yeah.
The kind of dual kingdom understanding that's been prevalent for a long, long time.
Yeah. But if nothing else, we've demonstrated we've got a nice mystery here.
Roger, now this
But he also says that he's not going to drink of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's hanging on that cross, the kingdom of God has come.
Because
he says, mm-hmm. When I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all to myself. Mm-hmm. And draw all to himself where he is the kingdom of God. Because he's in communion and union with his Father. And at that moment, that meal, that paschal meal, is finished on Calvary.
That's
the Catholic interpretation.
Roger, would that be, is any of this kind of conversation useful for you?
Yes.
All right. You had a couple of questions. What's the other one?
It was about the Nazirite vow. What would the significance be? Why did people take the Nazirite vow?
Okay.
Well, there's the assumption that it's not unlike a Lent idea, that somehow by giving up for a specific period, I will experience and have greater sense of closeness to holiness, to deity. But like most things in Jewish life, it's much, much more ambiguous than that, because it seems to be that it may be you think that only by giving up stuff you get close to holiness. It's by going into stuff that you also can, which is why at the end of the specific period, traditionally, we understand, the Nazirite brings a guilt offering. Now, why in the world would he or she bring a guilt offering if they've just done something that's got greater holiness? You know, follow? So that's the paradox of this thing. And perhaps the greatest attack on the whole institution is that it's usually paired with the Samson story, because Samson is, quote-unquote, a Nazirite from before he's born for life. And Samson is, from a Jewish perspective, a satirical attack against charismatic leaders because, first of all, he's a dumbo. He somehow thinks that woman doesn't have any ill will after three attempts. I mean, come on. A, and B, his epitaph, and those that he killed at his death were greater than he killed in his life. Well, congratulations. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be said about you? It's probably an attack against fanaticism.
Still there?
Roger, are you still there? I guess
yes,
he's not.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope that we've been useful to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Okay. Do you have enough coasters yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to get your contact information and send you some. Hold on.
And email us at the show.
And we're going to be right back, and we have a little ditty that we're going to share. It's a ditty. It's a nice little traditional statement about the day of Pentecost, which is today. Back after these messages, 576-7710, coming up.